Ancient Warfare, An Overview to Troy and the Trojan War. Now, quite frankly, even though I call this Ancient Warfare, I've really been doing a whole segment for a few months on the end of the Bronze Age. Started with the Sea Peoples, moved on to Mycenae, then we're at Knossos and the Minoans. We've looked how they've been connected, how they dealt with one another, how the Egyptians viewed the so-called Sea Peoples, and we come to find out not all of them are from the sea, some of them were professional mercenaries, and so forth and so on. But that leaves one spot left. That is Troy. And the question we have here is not that it ever didn't exist. We know that. The problem is there's a whole bunch of cities on that particular site, which unlike, for example, Schliemann's excavation in Mycenae, there was just the citadel, okay? There wasn't seven other citadels sitting over the top of it. Now, Knossos, of course, had different layers, but the upper layer had been pretty much left alone, so that was a little easier to excavate as well. And so we have Troy. So what I'm going to do in this, I'm going to talk about the excavation at the site, probably do that first. As of right now, I'm not sure how I want to do this, but I'm going to do the following. I'm going to do a series of podcasts giving you the basic background of the Trojan War, because everybody hears the Iliad and the Odyssey, but when I ask students specifically about parts of it, they have a clue. They just raise their hand and go, yeah, I heard the Iliad and the Odyssey. And I go, well, which book does the Trojan horse show up in? Oh, that's the Iliad. Never read the book. It's the Odyssey. Okay. And so we're going to look at those, give you the background story and those and the material that you're not used to. For example, the history of the Trojan War is four books, not two. The Greeks had the Iliad and the Odyssey. Then the Romans make a couple of additions. For example, Quintus of Smyrna wrote to fill in, he wrote in the 3rd century AD, he wrote a book called The War at Troy, What Homer Didn't Tell You. And it covers the events in between the end of the Iliad to the beginning of the Odyssey, which is interesting. And of course, you have what should be the end of this series, which would have been what Augustus believed was the end, and that is the Aeneid by Virgil, which talks about Aeneas being the family chosen. Because remember, the Trojans were actually more religious than the Greeks were. And so the gods that were worshipped by the Trojans felt cheated that Zeus had picked the Greeks to win since they were not as religious. And so Zeus relented and said, look, you find a family that is top-notch, we'll let them survive, and then they will have the honor of getting revenge. And of course, the Romans were always just enamored with the Greeks and couldn't understand how these wonderful, brilliant people could be conquered by the Romans. So Augustus had Virgil write the Aeneid, which is the story of what happens after Troy falls and Aeneas and his family flee and what they do and where they end up and how they end up related to the Romans, with the Romans getting the ultimate revenge. So we're going to look at some of that. If you go to my website, History According to Bob, if you go to links and you click on that and then click on Citizen Gracchus in the links, and then go down the scroll down the different topics until you get to the ancient Greek section. I actually have scanned an old classic illustrated comic book of the Iliad, and I have actually that is a setup that I use for my Western Civ classes, so the students have some background, have some extra resources and some other stuff. But I always tell them, I said, look over the comic book, get the gist of the story, and move on. So I'm going to talk about that and do some explaining on different things. But you have to understand, Iliad and the Odyssey, you could go just about anywhere in the Western world, even in the Middle East and to India, and they would be well aware of that. And the Greeks were well aware of it as well. Now, The question is there a Trojan War? Well, that's another section. I'm going to talk about, was there a Trojan War? What kind of evidence in there is there? Now, there is a book that and a series that was done on PBS and called In Search of the Trojan War. And the book is by Michael Wood, who has done a whole series of books. And he tries his best to look and figure out what's going on. And he comes to the conclusion that there's something, but maybe there wasn't a really big war. But there's been a lot of new stuff that's come out. We've always believed that Troy was a outpost on the fringe of the Hittite Empire. And they may have referred to it as Troia or Walusa. And we know that as the Hittite Empire comes under pressure from outside forces at the end of the Bronze Age, that keeping control of the outlying major outposts was difficult. And Walusa itself, being situated where it was at the mouth of the Dardanelles Straits, was spectacularly located to become fabulously wealthy. So it would have been pretty easy for a governor of whatever in that area to see the handwriting on the Hittite wall of their collapsing and take the opportunity to break away. Well, they have discovered in the Hittite documents several of them that deal with a revolt and a breaking away and even a destruction of the city by one of the individuals. And I'm going to bring that information to the discussion as well. Now, did they fight for 10 years? Certainly not all at one time. Could you really have all the men in Greece at one location for 10 years? That would have opened the country up to all sorts of problems. There wouldn't have been anybody left when you came home. We have to look at things such as numbers. Frequently, 10, 20, 30, 40 are just numbers they use to talk about a long amount of time. And it may have been sporadic. They may have shown up every year for 10 years at a certain time and besieged the place, but they never completely surrounded it because Troy is always getting reinforcements. And there's all sorts of different things that we'll look at because there's a lot of evidence that comes into play. We'll talk about the archaeological dig, what was found there. I've got several really good books and do kind of what I did with the Knossos, the various people who did excavations. But again, it's one of those cases that if you were in a time machine and went back to the time of Augustus and said, is there a Troy? They'd all look at you like, are you an idiot? Sure there is. The emperor has built a temple on the site. There's a Roman city there. They ran an aqueduct to it. Just because it disappears and people in the 1700s and 1800s go, oh, these ancient people weren't really, this really didn't exist. And then we dig all this stuff up. But it's interesting that Knossos, Mycenae, and Troy and the sea people are all in the same time period. They're all at the end of the Bronze Age, or the middle of the Bronze Age to the end of the Bronze Age. And they weren't really discovered until more modern times. And yet Greek mythology is full of all of this stuff. The Greeks, the Egyptians have documentation of fighting amongst these various groups of people. We have the Hittite records. Unfortunately, the Hittite records are very difficult to read. But it's my understanding that there is a computer AI that's been taught to be able to translate that. And documentation is being translated at a relatively rapid pace, which is giving us new insight into this information. So that's what's going to happen. This is going to be kind of a final roundup of information. But then again, remember when Schliemann and Evans and others are doing the excavation. This is the foundational period of archaeology. There's all sorts of things that go wrong. We've kind of blamed Evans for things. We blame Schliemann for things and all sorts of stuff. They were doing the best they could, and they were also finding material nobody had ever seen. They were literally finding documentation of what was in the Iliad and the Odyssey. When Schliemann excavates Mycenae and digs up the graves, The armor, the equipment is precisely written in Homer's Iliad and Odyssey. Now, I've seen people, they will talk about it, well, you know, we don't really know when this was written. It was probably written later, and they were just remembering some of the stuff or adding some of the stuff in here. And that's true. But then again, that's what modern man always says. Well, we're going to make a guess, and we think that if it did occur, it occurred here. And then when they get hit over the head with evidence, instead of saying, well, you know, we're wrong, they just kind of hem and haw the evidence a little bit until something just can't be dodged. So we're going to make a different assumption. We're going to make an assumption that it does, that it did happen, and try to explain it in context to what we've been looking with the other people. Because Troy would have not been attacked by the Greeks. He would have been attacked by the Mycenaeans and the Greek city-states or the Mycenaean areas with other people. We know that according to legend, the Cretans sent 20 warships with troops into the region to help out. And then after what should have been the end of the Trojan War, we have the final collapse of the Bronze Age. So perhaps this cataclysmic, long-drawn-out mess weakened everybody, so when the Dorians come in, it's a little bit easier for them to take over. Now, the other thing that comes in, and I mentioned this over and over and over again, so pardon me for doing it again. When you see pictures of Troy, when you see pictures of Mycenae, when you see pictures of Knossos, those are the palaces. Those are the citadels in the city. There is a larger city. And we frequently, and I think this is the one thing that I've always fought in the classroom. They'll have a picture, and you'll see a documentary, and they'll go, well, you know, I don't know how in the world you could possibly besiege this place for 10 years because they could. This is not very big. How can you get 10,000 people in that little space? That's because it's the damn citadel. That's where the king stayed. That's where the backup, that's the last resort area. You have the whole city out and around. You know, it's just as if you looked at your down, you live in a major city in the world. Let's say you live in New York. You got Manhattan Island. New York City is bigger than Manhattan Island. It spreads out and about. So that would be kind of like the citadel, if you will. So we have some things we have to straighten out. We've got to look at some of the lore that's involved. When we were there at Troy, we had, he was an okay guide. The group that I was with was much brighter than he was, university professors and A-level teachers. But he didn't believe in it. So he poo-pooed the thing the whole time. And then 7, 8, or 9 times during the tour, he says, well, you know, this is mentioned in the Iliad, and there it is. So maybe that's something that we can't kind of explain. But, you know, that varies from person to person. But he did point out some really good books. So, I will also be putting some I'll be putting some pictures up on the History According to Bob Facebook page to show you the different levels, because it is mind-numbing to try and separate all of the different groups out. And I'm also going to talk about a book called Helen of Troy by Bethany Hughes. And she talks about the stories of Helen and how you find her or people who are similar to her in different stories around the mythological area. So the sources that I'm going to use for this is Michael Wood, In Search of the Trojan War, the Troia Walusa Guidebook by Manfred Korfman, Troy, 1700 to 1250 BC by Fields, a revised edition of Troy by Mustafa Askin, and then, of course, our friend, the Aeneid by Virgil, the Iliad and the Odyssey by Homer, and The War at Troy by Quintus Murna. So I hope you enjoyed what I've been talking about, and I hope you'll enjoy what's coming up. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.